Yeah, things thought impossible. You got your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Peter. Yeah. I may knew there was a 2 Peter in the Bible. How many didn't know there was a 1 Peter?
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. We don't go here often, but we are going here today. God is taking us on a good journey. We know God's got a good journey for you. It's part of being blessed. Blessed means having a good journey. Wow. Wow. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we praise you. All right. All right. Hallelujah. All right now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Amen. God is here. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 2, 3, and 4. And then I'd like you to turn to just one verse in Ephesians 2, 8. So once you find 2 Peter, how many are wondering where Peter went? I know he's towards the back of the book there, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. So if you get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and just go back a few pages, you will find 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second chapter, I'm sorry. No, the first chapter. I'm double sorry. 2 Peter 1, first chapter. Amen. How many are perfect here today? Oh, well, good. You're making me feel better now. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just in for those that thought they had a perfect pastor. Amen. How many know we have one perfect one? Who is that? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And he is perfecting us and maturing us is really what that word means. Mature, perfecting us. Amen. 1, 2 through 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, somebody say divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, already given them to us, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, hallelujah, and to virtue, my God, through the knowledge of him, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do we see a lot of corruption in our world today? My, my, my. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 8th verse, one verse. The 2nd chapter, verse 8. Is it verse 8? Yes. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 5 is the number of grace. And God's got your number in mind to bless us. Amen. Verse 8, have you got it? Let's read it together, whatever translation you have. Let's read it together. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Can we read that again? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We continue today with our, well, let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Before we continue, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of God. Thank you for this faith, this grace. Father, show us things today that we may not have seen or we may have forgotten or we may have just not remembered or we just need to be reminded of. Let the power, this divine power in this divine word come and do what only your divine power can do. I thank you for the grace of God. that is given to us today. I thank you for the ability. It is not mine, it is yours. It is the grace of God that has given me any ability. And let your people know it is not anything I can do, but it is what you are doing by your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for it. May they feel your love and your grace and mercy as we minister this word you have given me. Minister it, quicken it to their hearts, that which is from you. Help me, Father, to speak only what's from you. Cover my humanness. Let your divinity, let your divine unction and power go forth this morning to these precious waiting hearts. I thank you for the responsibility. I thank you, Father, for the honor. I thank you for them coming today to honor you. I thank you, Father, for it now. Bless them, I pray. Let your word move mountains, move everything in their way, out of their way. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen, amen, amen. As I said, we continue today with our God-given theme. Most of you know it. Some of you may not. It's in your calendar there. It's on the front there for 2015, Doing the Impossible. Your year of the impossible made possible. Amen. Isn't that good? God said that. That's what God gave us and has given to me and confirmed it. We have been looking at various people in the Bible who did the impossible, God working with them and for them in things thought impossible. Anybody got anything that you think is impossible? Anybody have anyone you think is impossible? Don't raise your hand and amen. Don't look around. Amen. Hallelujah. There are impossible things, are there not? In fact, they're total impossibilities. Except for a greater fact and truth that God says with God, all things are possible. With men, they're impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Doing the impossible. Empowered. Matter of fact, he said to Jeremiah, he asked him a question. He says, is there anything too hard for me, says the Lord? Jeremiah earlier says, ah, Lord God, ah. He says, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Somebody say, absolutely nothing is too hard for God. Yeah, yeah. For men, yes, but for God, no. If he can make the earth and the heavens with his stretched out arm, I may know his arm is stretched out to you. His love. Jeremiah 32, 17 and 27 tells us this. Last week we saw Peter in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter. We saw him in prison awaiting execution and the impossible dream and how God brings us out of prisons. Somebody say, he brings me out. He brings us out. Yes, he does. Places we feel and are imprisoned in, restricted, limited, confined, enclosed, shut up, hemmed in, hindered, enclosed and surrounded, the unbearable and unacceptable, impossible situations. What a day in which we live. The powers that we're facing and they're facing off with us. Thank God we have a God that nothing is impossible with. And God is in this hour proving that there's nothing too hard for him. He is proving it, and he will prove it in your life. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God is ready to show off and show up and show you and everyone around you that he is a God that nothing is impossible with him. Hallelujah. You can give him a praise. He is worthy of your praise and of your applause. That was for you, Lord. From your people. Amen. And so we saw Peter and we saw that how through fervent prayer by the church, how God sent an angel to free Peter and free him he did. Somebody shout freedom. For freedom we've been set free. God will never stop until you're free. Amen. Completely. And today we want to see what enables us and empowers us to do the impossible. Today we see in our culture that for many inside and outside the church that it is impossible for many to stop smoking weed. Matter of fact, some states have legalized it. Amen. For some, it's impossible to stop smoking, period. For some, it's impossible to stop having sex outside of marriage. It's impossible to stop drinking, and for others, chewing. And for others, it's impossible to stop watching porn. For others, it may be impossible for others to stop shopping till they're dropping. Amen. And for others, they're pigging out and wigging out. And if I missed yours, I'm sorry. I apologize. And for all of us, I believe I can say this, and in this case, at one time or another, it was impossible for us to tithe and to pray. Amen. Not bad people, just people dealing with all kinds of impossibilities and bad things. Amen? I felt that. Let me say it again, not bad people. Whether they're caught in any of those things I just mentioned, not bad people, but people dealing with all kinds of impossibilities and bad things. That's why Jesus came. The fact is that most of us, if not all of us, are doing the impossible and dealing with the impossible on a daily basis. Amen. We are learning and growing in the grace of God. Talking about learning and growing, let me share just an anonymous poet wrote this. He says, if you can start the day without caffeine, if you can get going without pep pills, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can forgive a friend's lack of consideration, if you can overlook it when those you love take it out on you, when through no fault of your own something goes wrong, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can ignore a friend's limited education and never correct him, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without liquor, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can honestly say that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed or color, religion or politics, then, my friend, you're almost as good as your dog. Tell the one next to you, almost but not quite. Almost but not quite. Almost as good as your dog, but not quite. This poem is dedicated to two kinds of people. One, animal lovers. And two, those committed to learning and growing. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man or woman, and he or she will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase, she will increase in learning. Amen. I believe I have some wise people in the house today, don't you? So today God wants to show us, teach us how we can do the impossible, how the impossible can be made possible. And 2 Peter here, 1:3, where we began with, is the key. Amen. We see it. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. Now, I'm in Ephesians where we were. For by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. According as his divine power, that grace and peace has been multiplied unto you and me. That's what he's praying. Grace and peace be multiplied. I may need some more grace. I may need some more peace. Well, God is saying through the apostle, let it be multiplied by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God, multiply to you the grace and the peace of God right where you're sitting, right what you're dealing with. Amen. Sometimes what we're dealing with, we need peace and grace multiplied to us. We have been given a measure, but sometimes what you're facing and what you're dealing with, you need multiplied grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. I may know God is a multiplier. Just doesn't add, he likes to multiply. I'm glad God can multiply. So he says, according to his divine power, here's the key. Here's the key showing us, teaching us how we can do the impossible, how the impossible can be made possible. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. The exceeding precious promises by which we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Somebody shout escape. Oh, thank God for escaping the corruption that is overtaking our world. How many deal and know you're dealing with the corruption? How many have ever been tempted and are being tempted? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The spirit of lust, the spirit of whoredoms has filled our land. It'll take the power and grace of God and the Holy Ghost to help us to resist it. We can't do it in ourselves. I may know that when we do it by our own works, we miserably fail. Come on. I'm just telling the truth about us. Amen. But notice it's the divine power. What is this divine power? Ephesians 2:8. Divine power is the same word in the Greek as grace. Amen. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is the charis, the charismatic, the anointing. But it does not say that we are saved by grace alone, Ephesians 2:8. By grace, yes, but God and God's unmerited favor and love is what his grace is, yes. But we are saved through faith. Are you hearing me? That's important because Titus 2:11 says, grace has appeared unto all men, everybody. But how many know not everybody is saved? Grace has appeared to everyone. If it were grace by itself, everybody would be saved. Amen. How many know everybody is not saved? But grace has appeared to everybody, the Bible says. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It is by believing and receiving this power that we are empowered and enabled to please God. How many know those are the only people who benefit? Those who through faith release their faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of ourselves is the problem. I said not of ourselves is the problem. My problem. Many trying in their own power and ability to please God. And again, I tell you, we fail miserably. Keeping rules and laws. And many in the American church are trying to earn and work for it. I may know that's works by the law. Because we want to get credit for it. Want to see what we did. But how many know it's not what we did, it's what he did. That's what we focus on. Because sooner or later, what you did it. Amen. What you did it wasn't what you wanted to do. But it's receiving what Jesus has already done. Grace that is greater than all my sin. It's a gift that we receive by faith, already given to us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See what I did? No, this grace, this power is gifted to you by God. Saved from the corruption in this world. There's a bunch of it. Grace, God's divine power. Hebrews 12:28 says this, wherefore we receiving, somebody say receiving. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. A kingdom nothing can destroy. A kingdom who has a king, King Jesus. Let us have grace. Let us have divine power whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Grace gives power. Say it out loud. Grace gives power because grace is power. Hallelujah. Let us have this grace that we didn't earn, that we don't deserve, gifted to us by God, so that we can serve God acceptably. I may know not everything that people do is acceptable to us. And so too with God. It'll take the grace of God, take the power of God to please God. I cannot please him in myself. I cannot please him in my flesh. I cannot please him by the law. I must please him by grace, through faith. Woo! And we want to please God, don't we? Yes. I said yes. Grace is a dynamic force that enables us and empowers us and helps us not to be helpless anymore. Grace is an empowerment to overcome. You want to stop smoking? Stop watching porn? Stop having sex outside of marriage? But you can't? Release your faith. That's just naming a few. We named others. Those are some of the obvious, some of the real impossibilities our culture is facing today, amen, and our people. I may know God knows what we're facing. Grace is the empowerment. Release your faith. God would not tell you to do and not supply the power that enables you to live in the fear of God and to obey God. Amen. He won't tell you to do it. If he won't empower you, he hasn't given you the power to do it. Enabled you to do it through grace. Grace helps you to do this and to serve God acceptably. Grace doesn't cover sin. It kicks sin to the curb. Hallelujah. Grace stops sin. Woo. Grace empowers you not to sin. I don't have to miss it anymore. I don't have to sin anymore. There is grace to help in time of need. Hebrews says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You will need grace in your time of need. You are not big enough in your time of need. There's only so much you can do, but there's nothing God can't do. A grace to help you not be lonely. Grace to be by yourself and to be happy with you. Nobody wants to connect with an unhappy person who doesn't like themselves. Hallelujah. Say either hallelujah, oh my, or amen, however you want to do that. And there's something wrong with what's in the church that looks like what's in the world. Grace will empower you wherever you failed and missed it, wherever I failed and missed it, whatever shortcomings I have and you have. Grace will help us to not be offended. Can I go a little deeper? A little further. Grace can be seen. Grace is reflective. Acts 11, 21. If you got your Bibles, turn quickly with me if you would. Verse 21. I'm so excited about this word, I feel like reading the whole thing. But you know I wouldn't do that, because I don't need to do that. Amen. Only read what God has given me for you. Acts 11, the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Romans. Right after the Gospels there. Acts 11, when you say you got it, say I've got it. Yeah, I know you got it. Amen. God knows he gave it to you. The devil knows you got it too. That's why he's trying to steal it all the time from you. Huh? You got it. Look at somebody there and say, you got it, baby. You got it, baby. You got it. Hallelujah. Some of you are so very disobedient to your pastor. I love you anyway. I tell you, do something, you look at me like a cow with a new stall. I love you. I hope you love me anyway. Amen. There's power in words. There's power in declaring a thing. Decreeing a thing, God says, it shall be done. Amen. Yeah. Acts 11, 21 says this, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. How many know a great number believe in America, but they have not turned to the Lord? They believe there's a God, but they haven't turned to that God. Mm-hmm. Then tidings of these things came, verse 22, unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen, somebody say, had seen the grace of God. He saw it, was glad. I mean, when you see the grace of God, it'll make you glad. Woo. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. I believe if more people can see the grace of God, more people will be added to the church. We don't have enough of the grace of God that's being seen. And I take that personally and start with moi, number one. Amen? How many know the buck stops here? It might not be my fault, like Ron Cumberland said, but it's my responsibility for this flock. No, I may not be at fault for whatever's going on, but I am responsible for you. And I take that responsibility seriously. Because I will give an answer to God one day for how I pastored and shepherded this flock. Amen. It's a great responsibility, but I feel the weight of it, but it's a weight of glory. And it's a weight only because God has empowered me to do it. God has given me grace to do it. How many know God gives you grace to do whatever you do? If you don't have grace to be an usher, find out what you got grace to do. Not everybody has grace to do certain things. Some people think they have grace to sing. And then you have to tell them you ain't got it. And then they get mad at you and leave the church. I've had it happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace will help you not to be offended. When they had seen the grace of God, they saw people being empowered to do things they couldn't do before. And they believed and released their faith. Somebody shout, release your faith. Yeah, you're holding it, but you got to release it. You've got it, but you got to release it. It's like having money. If you don't release it, you're not going to buy anything. You're not going to get anything. You can have all money in the world. People have died paupers, and they find in his mattress or somewhere he's got millions of dollars and live like a pauper and like a beggar. Never used it, received it, but didn't use it. God has given a measure of faith to every man and every woman. Amen. He gives us air. You got to use it if you're going to breathe. Gives us water. You got to drink it if you're going to live. Tell somebody else to use your faith. Use your faith. You got it. Through faith, the worlds were formed. Whew, it's the most powerful thing you have. It's the thing the devil wants to shut down and keep hidden. He doesn't want you to know that you can use it. We're waiting for God to use his faith. But God's given you faith. Use yours. We want to use the pastor's faith. That's all right. But that will only get you so far. I can see you get healed. I can exercise faith for you. But at some point in your life, you have got to exercise your faith and take responsibility for your life spiritually. Woo! You've got to receive the grace of God. You've got to receive it to get the grace. Able to face what's ahead. With that grace, you can face anything that's ahead. You don't have to be afraid of anything. That grace of God will walk into the hospital with you. It'll walk into that thing, procedure you got to have done. It'll walk with you back in your house when there's nobody in the house. Nobody to love you. Nobody with skin on. I know we got Jesus, but we do need somebody with skin on. That does help, does it not? God's word says it's true. Two are better than one. One can keep the other warm. They need that in Massachusetts and back east right now. Amen. Pity the person done it. Well, we better leave that alone. Believe God. Release your faith. God says, I've got for you what you need. You release your faith for it. You tell God what you want. I want him 6'6". I want him 235 pounds. All muscle. And he's got to have money. Don't bring me no poor man. I want dark hair or blonde hair. Can't have no broken down car. That tells me he ain't got faith to believe God. Oh, I've driven some broken down cars. But I learned how to release my faith. I'm still learning. If it wasn't for Brother Victor, my broken down car would have been broken down for good many moons ago. They believe God. They release their faith. Who has released his faith for it, her faith for it? Who has released their faith for it today? I can't tell you how important this is in these last days before Christ's coming. Because we can't continue to live and say we're Christians and we're just like the world. Just like the sinner. God said he's going to have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Whew. I saw a vision one time of that. I thank God for that verse. That gave me hope. No matter what we see in the church, God's going to have a glorious church. Amen. Don't let it get you down. I know it does. Don't let it depress you. Don't let it take you out of church. You stay in there. You be the part that helps it be what it's supposed to be. Let people know this is how it's supposed to be. I'm walking what I'm talking. You're not going to hell because of me. God won't let you go anyway, but I don't want to hinder you. I want to help you. I don't want you to stay outside the doors because of what you saw inside the doors. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in Acts, they believed and turned to the Lord. You can believe, as I said, and not turn to the Lord. The Bible talks about King Asa and others who turned to physicians. Not wrong to turn to doctors or physicians, but he should have first turned to the Lord. America depends on physicians more than they do God. They make physicians God. And God told Asa, I think it was Asa, he says, man, the disease in his feet, he said, now you're going to die because you didn't trust God. You didn't look to me. You looked to man. Looking to man is futile. The arm of flesh will fail you every time. Woo! Look to God. When you look to God, ask him what to do. Then he'll tell you, you need to go to the doctor. He's told me that before, but I went to him first. And the time I didn't listen to him and go to him, cost me $1,200 over a year. I told you about it. The only good I got out of that was I blessed the Christian brother that was the chiropractor. So that helped me feel better about it. But I may know that's just me encouraging myself. I would have been much more encouraged if I had kept that $1,200. Because God had already told me, let my word heal you. But I didn't listen to that. No, shame off me, thank you. But you're a mother, amen. I respect the mother in the house, amen. If she says shame on you, but I'm believing God, shame off me, amen. I honor this mother, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, God will lead you. God will guide you. Amen. I've had God tell me, now you need to get to God. You've been fighting this thing for a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, and it ain't getting no better, and you better get some help. One day I did that some years ago, and I was really feeling bad. I was going downhill. It was the flu, and it really attacked me. And, boy, some things can really attack you, can they not? And I was in bed, and I'd been in bed for a couple of weeks, and I said, well, I've tried to fight this, and I guess I need some help. The Lord said, yeah, you need some help. It'd be real wise if you go get some. So I went to the doctor. I think it was in Quartz Hill, the emergency, urgent care there. And thank God, God has the right doctor for you. Because he did what he wasn't supposed to do. He gave me a horse shot of penicillin. They're not supposed to give you that much. But I needed that much. And how many know if you need that much, God's going to touch somebody to give you that much. And that knocked that in the head real quick. That would have knocked a horse over. Amen. But he knew I was real sick. And God helped me. Amen. And God will help you. Turn to the Lord and they believe. Believe. And not receive because we don't release our faith. And how many know the Bible says faith without works, the Bible says, is dead. Amen. How many know that's why we got many dead-looking people in the church? Not this church, of course. All right, you're getting too stiff on me. Turn to somebody, you got offended. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, not this church. Not me. No. That church down the street. Yeah. Uh-huh. May no grace is proof that can be seen. Visible proof. I want to see the grace of God when I come into the house. Into your house, into my house. I want to see the grace of God. I want to see the grace of God when I come to church. I want to see the grace of God on my job. I want to see the grace of God when I come into the office. Release your faith and prove me now, saith the Lord. And see if I will not open you a blessing. Open the windows and pour you out a blessing. God's got a blessing for you. Release your faith in the grace of God. Not in my ability. No, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Can you open those back doors a bit, get a little air in here? They're trying to suffocate the preacher. I'm telling you, they got some really wily ways in here, but I love them. Can you open that door a little, brother? We'll get some air in here. Amen. People are breathing on each other trying to get cool. Thank you, brother. So whatever you keep saying you can't do, believe in the grace of God, that it will provide the proof of God's power. When we release our faith to prove that his grace is sufficient, it is the enabling power. The only way for this not to work is for you, is for you not to believe. That's the only way for it not to work. Otherwise, God is a liar. And God cannot lie, the Bible says. Grace through faith is the gift of God. It's through faith that we obtain everything. Faith is the currency of heaven. You get nothing except by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that come must believe that he is God, and his word is what he says it is. you quickly, if the only way for this not to work is for you not to believe it, and you know what happens when you don't believe it, you quickly go back to your own abilities. We quickly retreat to what we can do and can only go to a certain point, achievement only to a certain level. But it's none of me and all of him. That's the reality. You and I need him, even if you think you don't. We all think we can do it on our own. You might be all right now, but how many know you're going to need God? See, as long as we can do it, we don't need God. As long as I got enough money in the bank, I don't have to believe God. I don't have to release no faith. As long as the pastor will pray for me, hey, I don't need to pray for myself. He's seeking God. That's what we pay him for. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, sister. I received that raise. Thank you. Okay. Receive your own raise. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, I receive it. I receive my raise. You speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Even if you're your own employer. Hallelujah. Self-employed. You'll only rise to a certain level. That's the reality. You and I need him, even if we don't think we do. You might be all right now, but you're going to need God. Yeah, this is my life, and I'm going to live it like I want to. Really? You think so? You know, one is amazed as one looks around at our country and church people who think they can do it without God. And they only want to respond to God when they get in trouble, when they can't make it, they ain't got nothing. And then they come to God. How many know that was me? And that was you. I said that was me, and that was you. Long as we could do it, we didn't need God. Amen. That's why his love is so awesome. Because nothing you've done in your life disqualifies you from finally coming to the place where you say, okay, God, I believe and I receive. Those are the four most powerful words that you can speak many times. Lord, I believe and I receive. See, not just I believe. Believing's good. But it won't get you what you're believing till you receive it. If I had a $100 bill and I believe the pastor's got a $100 bill and he said it's for me, but you can't get it unless you come and receive it. I don't have one just in case you want to see me after service, but had some expenses this week. How many had some expenses this week? Yeah. But how many know you're going to get some more? Say, I'm going to get some more. Yeah. Because what God's grace provided there, his grace, I'm believing and receiving, will provide more for me this next week. Oh, yeah. Woo. I said something there. And I didn't do it justice. When I said more, look up the word more. Woo. God is more than enough. The Bible says great grace was upon them all. Great grace is upon us all. Amen. Grace enables me. It empowers me to please God. And Father, I want to thank you that I have grace to be a husband. I have grace. You have grace to be a wife. You have grace to be a son or a daughter of the living God. A son or a daughter of that parent. You have grace to be a mother. Grace to be a pastor. We have grace to be in this church. Hallelujah. Open those doors, brother. Yes. Don't make me act like Samson. Take them off. Run up all the mountain over here. Hallelujah. Open the other one too, will you? I hate a church half open. Thank you, brother. Are you still there? I declare great grace over my life. Say out loud, God will never ask me to do what he has not graced me to do. I declare great grace over my life. What you've done is you've declared power over your life. You've declared anointing over your life. That the days of falling short are over with. You can do it now. You can carry out what God has called you to carry out. Amen. Because when God calls you, he's not depending on your ability to do it. He's depending on his ability to do it. When God asks you to do something, he's not depending on your education, your degree, Got to ask him to give you the grace to do what it is that he's asking you to do. Grace to get a job. Great grace. Powerful grace. Empowering grace. God will never command me to do anything without providing the grace for me to keep the commandment. Grace that is greater than all. The empower, the enabling grace of God. Grace will allow you to walk in mercy. Grace will allow you to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, piece of cake, but I may know it will help you to do the right thing when the pressure to do the wrong thing is on. When you're pressured by your feelings and emotions, grace will help you. He's given us this power as a gift. It is the gift of God. Don't waste the gift. Anybody here, God might be talking in here. Tell somebody next to you, don't waste the gift. Don't waste the grace. The Bible talks about grace that they did despite the grace of God. Grace didn't help them because they didn't release their faith. They didn't mix the word with faith. You can sit in a church like this or a bigger church and never be better for it. Walk out the same way you walked in, saying, I believe, but did you receive? Say, that's the key. I believe what you said, Pastor. I believe God said that through you. Amen. I get you outside and ask you, what do you believe? Well, I don't know. It was a good service. I got real happy about it and felt pretty good, but I don't remember what he said. I mean, that's happened to all of us. Ask me, what do you say? That's why I take notes. It's not just because I'm getting older, but that is one reason. I got to be honest, amen? Can't lie all my life. Come on. How many have a photogenic memory in here? You don't have to be embarrassed. You can raise your hand if you have a photogenic memory. Amen. You got somebody who has a photogenic memory? Man. We need some of your brain cells, brother, sister, whoever has it. I want a little lumbotomy transplant here. Amen. But the fact is, most of us don't have photogenic memories. And I don't know about you, but when God says something, I want to be able to remember it. Meditate on it. Not forget. Somebody shout, great grace. Lord, give me the grace to trust you. Believe you. To have a good attitude. To be what you want me to be. Give me the grace to recognize my wrong so I can repent of it if I'm going the wrong way. Give me grace so I can turn around and avoid the pit. It's grace. Grow in grace, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, you will do the impossible. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. So you're already doing some impossible things. But God's, there's some things that you'll need the grace to do. They are that impossible. With men, but with God. Come on, stand with me if you believe God's enabling you, empowering you through his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody look at the clock. I want to give you an example. Look at the clock back there. God will enable the preacher the grace to speak what the Lord wants and not go on and on about it. Isn't God good? Come on. Did you get anything today? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for each one standing under the sound of the voice you have given me, but I pray they've heard your voice today. For Father, we stand as one you showed me early this morning as John the Baptist, crying in the wilderness, repent, prepare the way for the kingdom of God and of heaven is at hand. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that we're going to see more received in the day today and tomorrow and the day after and in the days ahead. You are helping us, the Holy Spirit giving to us, empowering us, the word helping us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, getting more of the word, believing it, so we can receive it. I thank you for what you're doing. I believe we're going to have the best week, best day of the rest of our lives. Care what's going to hell in a handbasket, we're not going there. Whatever they're doing, God is doing greater. God is God, and the grace of God will keep me and take me, provide for me, empower me to do what I could not do. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for empowering each one today, this marvelous grace. We come to the table this morning, we conclude. Holy Spirit, you close this service, I pray, as we come to partake and to remember your Son. Do this in remembrance of him. How many like to remember your children? You get a little down, you pull out your grandchildren's picture. Amen? Do this in remembrance. Remember my Son. As we do this, we're going to remember till he come. We will not do this once he comes, but we do it to remember him. Sometimes if people don't see somebody for a long time, they forget what they look like. Huh? Come on. That's why he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. He knows the tendency to not remember him in the busyness and the pressures and the challenges of life. Amen. 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 God, you're so good. First Lady, would you?
The Word of God says that we do this in remembrance of him. That is not to be taken lightly, and that we are to do this until his second coming. So as we prepare to partake of his blood and of his body this morning, I want you to just take just a moment and realize the price that was paid for you to be in this position. And as you come to the table to examine yourself, just take a moment, just examine yourself and everything that you see that is out of line with the Word of God, you place it at the cross right at this moment. Right at this moment. Because in doing this, we understand that it is by his blood and it is by the brokenness of his body and what he did for us that we could stand in the place of righteousness through him. Oh, God. It says that we are sick because we don't partake of. So if there's sickness in your body, put it at the foot of the cross this morning. If there's unforgiveness in your spirit, man, if there's unforgiveness in your soul, put it at the cross this morning. Accept the fullness of what Christ has done for us. For it is nourishment to my soul. Nourishment, health to my soul. My spirit is renewed. It is a covenant written in blood. So take it seriously this morning. Take it with the understanding that everything that was promised to us is symbolic in this table. Take, as Pastor was saying, you can't receive unless you reach out your hand to take it. So Father, this morning, Lord, as we come together to partake of your body, Lord, Father, we've come to take part in the covenant that you have promised us. We come, Father, to take part in the grace that you have given us. We've come to take part in the wholeness that you have given us, Father. But above everything, Father, we've come to remember all that you have done for us. We've come to remember who you are and what you have done and what we have because of you. We come to this table, Father, yes, remembering what you did, but rejoicing for what you have provided through this table, Father, through your blood, through your body, Father. Oh, God, we've come praising you this morning. We've come saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because as we partake of this table today, we partake of it with expectation of your coming to back to us. Oh, God, we partake. Because we remember you're coming back. You're coming back. You're coming back for us. You haven't left us here. You haven't forgotten us here. We remember We remember this morning, Lord. We remember all. We partake of all. We reach out our hand and we receive all. All this morning, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
And he took the bread and blessed it. Broken for us, for our brokenness. Amen. With his stripes we're healed. And he blessed it. Receive this blessed bread. We bless it in the name of the Lord. This is blessed bread that you'll be receiving today. He has blessed it. The aftermath, same manner he took the cup. He blessed it. We thank you, Father, for the cup. The cup of blessing. The table of blessing. Say, Lord, I receive your blessing today. Yes, I need your blessing. And I receive it today in the communion. Would you serve the people, servers? Thank you.
As they're passing this out to you, when you take that bread, take and look at it. Take and handle it. Because in that you can caress his body. It is a point of contact and touching his body and touching who he is, symbolic of who he is. A moment in time where we stop and we touch him. And as you look at the cup, remember the blood that was shed for you for the remission of your sins. Once and for all, the perfect sacrifice. Once and for all. And so as we look at that and we touch and we see who he is and we remember what he's done and we contemplate in our mind that healing comes with this. And we wholeness comes with this. Remembrance. We are reminded of who we are in him. And we are reminded that he's coming back for us. We are reminded that in his absence that we have a place of touching him. That we have a place of remembering him. That we have a place of wholeness in him. That we have a place of forgiveness in him. That we have a place of healing in him. So as you hold that today, you hold his body, you hold his blood, lift up anything in your life that you need him to still be Lord over, and he'll be Lord over it. Oh, come on, you ought to be saying something to him right about now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I remember, Jesus. I remember. I remember, Father. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Just before we partake, let me put us in remembrance that there's three reasons that we partake of the Holy Communion. The first is to make us grace-minded. To know that no one will ever stand in heaven and say, look what Jesus and I have accomplished. No, it's look what he has done. And two is to keep you sensitive to sin. To let a man examine himself as we just heard. So let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. It's to keep you sensitive. Keep us sensitive to sin. To make us grace-minded and keep us sensitive. For he who eats and drinks unworthy in a manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. We don't want to drink judgment. No, we're not doing that. We're sensitive. We've come confessing our sins. We come saying, Lord, we come examining ourselves. Not each other, examining us, Lord. Like we said, we don't have grace makes it so we don't have to miss it anymore. It's the manner in which we approach God that counts. You don't have to avoid the communion cup. You only need to confess your sin. And then drink deeply with gratitude. God's not trying to keep you out. He's made way for you to come in. Don't let the devil put condemnation on you and make you feel unworthy. He is worthy. There's that works again, law versus grace. It's the grace of God. And the third reason, it's not just to make us grace-minded, to keep a sense of sin, but it's to keep you focused on Christ's return. He said, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. Every communion service brings us one step closer to the greatest communion service of all, the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Hallelujah. Are you planning on being there? Well, let's take this as a sign. I plan to be at the marriage supper. Thanks to the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. He took this bread, broke it, he blessed it, he ate it. Amen. Take it. This is broken for you, my body, so you can be whole. Amen. We receive wholeness today, Lord. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he drank it. Let's drink it. This is my blood which is shed for you. Go on and drink it. He said, drink all of it. Every sin under the blood. Every sin forgiven. Every fault covered. Hidden in Christ. Drink it for the remission of sins. The remitting back. The rolling back. Anything the enemy's tried to roll over on you. The blood rolls it off. Off. Off of you. Off of your family. Off of your finances, off of your children, off of your church, Lord, off for the remission of sins. For as oft as you eat and drink, you do show the Lord's death what he has done, the marvelous gift of grace. He is grace. He is grace. We receive you today. In greater manifestation, in greater glory, in your greatness. Bless. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you that we walk out of here blessed, not cursed, blessed. I praise you for it. May the blessing of God chase you and overtake you, the Bible says. Overtake you. Bless you and your family, your children. The work of your hands, the fruit of your body, the labor. Bless your ministry. Bless you coming in and bless you going out. Make you the head which you are and not the tail, above and not beneath. For the Lord makes his blessing flow as far as the curse is found. He took the curse. You are the blessed. Be blessed. You are blessed. I love you. God loves you. Have a wonderful week. May the blessing overtake you this week. I love you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Hug one another. Love one another. Shake someone's hand. Tell them you're blessed. I know you're blessed. Amen. Thank you. Love you. Love you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.